the Curious Leader, our jam session, where do the questions come from? So what is leadership? What do you think about it? Doors, or do they open windows? Do they have a smell? And do they have a taste? Hearing or listening or sensing? That's what the leader needs. Do you sense a question before it emerges?
Welcome to Growing Culture. Heute werden wir uns auf Englisch unterhalten und ich werde mich mit euch unterhalten. So, today we're going to speak in English and I am going to speak in English. That's actually the news of today because my interview partner got ill and we said we do it anyways because I was supposed to be the interviewee today. It's all about leadership in the arts world. Does that make sense? Does that give benefits? And which benefit does it give? And according to my interview partner, one of the questions was, which benefit would it bring to the art world if there would be a professional leadership development as used in business, for example? And whoever works in education, you know I have these three fields. Just translate it for yourself if that's maybe also something that could work really well in educational environments. I invite you just having here a good glass. I take a bit of sweet wine today, actually.
So what is leadership? What do you think about it? Questions are crucial. Do they open doors or do they open windows? Do they have a smell? And do they have a taste? Hearing or listening or sensing? That's what the leader needs. Do you sense a question before it emerges?
Worlds. What the questions I asked myself before I started. And it was about, I would say, thinking of leading in voluntary environments. So people who don't get paid work differently. If you're lucky, if you're leading well, they work better than if they are paid. And the big question in there is which role plays motivation and how can you motivate people? For sure, all the topics we always cover in this podcast is curiosity, trust, belonging, making a difference, creativity, listening. All these aspects play a crucial role if you have a voluntary team that engages in a 2 years project. That's what we had. Just to explain to you, the project was called Musicville, the Green European Opera, and it was about inventing opera, reinventing opera, in regarding nature, humans in nature, being part of nature, and a sustainable future. We had 15 artists from 3 countries, Croatia, Slovenia, Austria, from different backgrounds, visual artists, one dancer. We had performing artists, we had musicians, and word artists, people who write real libretto. So, and opera is this one genre where you need a lot different approaches to art creation. The whole project was laid out that it is a co-creational project. And my question was also, which guidance is needed when you do co-creation? Curiosity has a crucial role. And how to tackle curiosity in an environment when people feel they have to prove their expertise, which in the arts is quite strong, but also in business, usually, whenever you work with experts or someone, it's always an environment that as soon as it comes to leading, as soon as it comes to contributing, people feel the need to prove their expertise before they start working. And that has a certain influence on how people work together. So the whole thing in co-creation, I would break it down actually in 3 parts. Were people ready and able to collaborate, really work together? And the outcome is the co-creation. How did we go about decision-making? How did we deal with conflicts? And which roles did the mentors or artistic directors play? Let me just dive a bit deeper. Co-creation means we all create together. What we did not do in the beginning, actually, is we did not decide who takes the final decisions, which was quite an obstacle in the end. So whenever I said, what did I learn for every future project? What I would really do is, even in the arts, where usually you agree on the best solution, and the best solution is very often defined on one that everyone can just join in on. But if you're 20 people and you develop together and people are not used to listen well, they're not used to really work together without someone leading from the outside. Arts world, especially performing arts, usually is a quite hierarchical process. You need to talk about that. And I can just say we wouldn't have been able to talk about it because no one would have seen the necessity to decide on how we do decision-making together. In the end, this was our biggest obstacle, that we did not decide on how we take decisions together. The misunderstanding was co-creation means everyone needs to say yes to everything. Whoever worked in bigger groups knows impossible. For us, it was always very, very big breaks in there, actually, because we had people who wanted to say, okay, basic democratic decisions. And whoever ever thought about democratic decisions, they are really good if you have 3/4, 2/3 on one hand, but always then you have 1/4 or 1/3 who does not agree at all, says no to the process. So you don't have a fluid development of next steps, because quite an essential part is not agreeing with what is going on. So whatever I know from decision making, I would always suggest from now on consent techniques. So you put it out, you say, okay, who is with it anyways? But someone who is not with it, they can have a saying in there. They can just say, well, I really cannot go on with it. But also say, okay, I'm not completely agreeing, but for me, it's okay if we go on. So they're with it. But in the end, you need everyone to buy in. And those who definitely say no need to have a moment to have their saying and those who are kind of the sponsors of the idea need to take the time to work out with them why they say no, because usually the reasons are quite good ones. For the arts, this would be really essential, but it would also mean that a leader, a mentor, knows how this decision-making works. And if we were three leaders, that also there's a trust between the leaders that the other one might know a good solution, might know a good suggestion, might know something more than I know. And maybe not even on the level of the arts, on the level of the expertise, but just on the level of process development. Very interesting, actually. I did not expect this to be so hard, and I did not expect to be such a gap between people in business who are used to make these decisions, who are actually, at least in my bubble, regularly trained to do that, and the people in the arts who are always focusing on the content, on their outcome, and not so much about how do we get there. And asking the questions, how do we get there, was sometimes overwhelming. I did ask that, cannot say that it always brought very good results. Sometimes yes, or let's say more than half of the times it did bring very good results, but sometimes it really created some resistance, which I was surprised by.
Tira forte il vento su una vecchia terrazza davanti al golfo di Sorrento. Un uomo abbraccia una ragazza dopo che aveva pianto. Poi si schiarisce la voce e ricomincia il canto. Pensò le notti là in America, ma erano solo le lampare e la bianca scia di un'erica. Sentì il dolore della musica che si alzò dal pianoforte, ma quando vide uscire la luna da una nuvola lì sembrò più dolce anche la morte. Guardò negli occhi della ragazza quegli occhi verdi come il mare. Poi all'improvviso uscì una lacrima e lì credette di affogare. Della lirica, dove ogni dramma è un falso, che con un po' di trucco e la mimica puoi diventare un altro. Ma due occhi che ti guardano, così vicini a veri. Ti fanno scordare le parole, confondono i pensieri. Così diventa tutto piccolo, anche le notti là in America. Ti volti e vedi la tua vita come la scia di un'elica. Ma sì, è la vita che finisce, ma lui non ci pensò poi tanto. Anzi, si sentiva già felice e ricomincia il suo canto.
Because as soon as people were not heard, we had also a lot of things coming up that people felt like, oh, my decision is not taken, I'm not valuable. So this was a very, very clear consequence. And I see that also in expert environments a lot, that if my idea is not taken, I'm not contributing anymore. We did not have a lot of these artists, but I would say two or three were like this, and that was a bit disappointing because it was not very helpful for the process. Brings me back to why I developed this theory of curiosity. I don't know if you read books of mine or articles of mine. I'm talking a lot about curiosity as an attitude, because that would bring the next question. Someone brings it there, I don't understand. But instead of saying, oh, I don't understand, I don't want it, I say, I don't understand, but I would like to find out why this person comes up with this idea. What is behind? What are the thoughts behind? And it just opens so many doors. Also implies that in a big group, people are open to learn from others. They're open and they're maybe educated to not only forward their idea and their ego, but also to forward, oh, this person has an approach that helps the whole. So maybe I change myself and take on or adapt something I learn here, which could be useful for the whole process. Interestingly, in my experience, I mean, I work in all these three environments. For business people, that's easier. I see it in the education field, where it's somehow easier because it's very close to learning. So people, whenever you give them the idea of curiosity, they say, oh, very good, that's interesting, because especially when they ever worked with small kids, the kids take it on and say, ah, that's like my kids' work. Ah, yeah, my task is how to get them curious, how to stay curious myself. In the arts, astonishingly, people have more the tendency, and I would say if I can judge in which field it was mostly, visual artists obviously work a bit different in finding their own solutions with themselves and not exchanging so much with others. So for them, it's very difficult to adapt ideas of others or approaches, how to get to an idea of others. That's what I observed. I cannot say, you know, we were 15 people, so it's a very small universe compared to other projects. For project development, quite a big universe, I would say. Did we have conflicts? Yes, we did. Did we solve them well? I would say not always. Very similar reasons, to my observation, because people were not used to conflict resolution techniques. Sometimes not even used to the option that if there is a conflict, that does not mean I have an enemy now, but that means I can talk about it. The first step was the difficult part. So whenever we could downsize a conflict to a disagreement and just agree on the fact that, okay, we have different approaches, we don't need to agree on an outcome, but we have to accept that the approaches are different and that every approach is valuable, it became easy. Then there's a good, I would say, loyalty for the process. There was a good acceptance that, okay, if I'm not attacked, life can go on. But whenever people were sticking to this first thing, that a disagreement means there's hostility involved and there's guilt involved, like someone did something wrong and you need to find out who is it and you need to accuse this person, we were quite stuck. And it took some time, I would say, quite some time of the process to sort out disagreements. Disagreements or even attacks. People felt attacked, people felt insulted, and this was quite a challenge. But let's now go on to the questions. Carola, what is the added value of leadership in the arts?
Di ste mattine ti svegli e lo sai, sta cosa è stata grave ieri, ma ora che ne farai? Ti giri nel tuo letto, ci pensi forte, lo sai, ma non ti viene niente che ti potrebbe salvare, dai. Ed io ti dico, abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringitelo cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringitelo cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Stuzzicarlo, sai che ti farà dei guai, e nello stesso tempo ne trovi una gemma che non aspettavi mai. Ci bisogna lasciarla ancora dal ruggito, bellezza ne farai, ma sviluppa pure quel tratto di vedere bellezza nei guai. Ed io ti dico, abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringite al cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringite al cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringite al cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringite al cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Abbraccia pure l'errore,
abbraccialo forte, stringiti al cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai. Abbraccia pure l'errore, abbraccialo forte, stringiti al cuore, scopri che non ne ancora ne sai.
Carola, what is the added value of leadership in the arts? I would say the added value of leadership in the arts is a lot about making a process possible, is a lot about making people feel so safe that they can be truly creative, so they feel good in bringing ideas that are risky, that could feel I'm stupid if it's not taken or something. And it brings a lot also this always bringing back and going deeper with the topic. Because one thing is how do people feel, but the other thing is also what is the outcome? And do you feel safe enough? Good leader can create this space. Do you feel safe enough to be questioned? Questioned by a mentor or questioned by your colleagues, and always with the scope to go deeper with the topic. Our topic was sustainability, our topic was nature, and the question is just how do we as artists, who are not experts on microbiome or on the soil or something, or on tree, on biology, what is our saying that we create sustainable development of our planet? Our answer was actually that we said, okay, if humans accept their role of being part of nature, and if humans accept that they play a role in shaping or creating a future that's worth living, means they have to develop a lot of very human things like empathy, love, humor, sadness, all these feelings, like the whole emotional world. But what does that mean? Do we need to go on the dark side? Do we need to go on the bright side? Do we need to have a Hollywood ending? Where do we really want to go with this? And this was quite a challenge, because this needs people who are good in asking the right questions, like leaders who are good in opening the space, keeping a safe space, holding the space, and at the right moment ask the questions. And then sometimes go up a step back and let the others work. So I think this would be the added value of leadership in the arts. And the second part, which I observe is in the art very strong, as it is always, especially with performing arts, quite a hierarchical process. You need someone, a director, you need a musical director or a theater director or someone in the end who brings it all together. This person has quite a saying, has also quite a power. And if this person is not good in accepting the power, but dealing with the people on eye level, you have a definitely power struggle going on immediately, which whoever works in the performing arts is quite a day-to-day problem. But with good leadership, you can minimize this problem. And sometimes just the sentence, I used it quite a lot. Okay, we're all inventing together now. In this moment, I step in my role. I'm the mentor now. And as a mentor, I'm asking this question. And the question was very often, is it enough? Do we really want to make this? Is this a decision or is it a thought? If we write it down, will we also agree on this next time? And it was very, very narrowing it down, but also giving security on the path. So I think leadership, knowing when to start, letting it very open, but also taking the right and the power to narrow it down to come to a result, is quite a challenge in this environment where the culture of how we deal with each other has not grown so much. next question. From your experience, Carola, as an artist, a mentor, and a leader in the arts, what do you think it would need to develop and establish in the arts, leadership in the arts, so the art world experiences the benefits?
Je ne suis pas celle que les lumières éclairent. Je ne suis pas celle qui change avec le temps. Si malgré tout je suis restée la même, c'est pour approcher mes rêves d'enfant. J'ai voulu un homme, un seul pour danser. J'ai voulu chanter pour enchanter. Je voulais les nuits plus longues que le jour, avant que tu t'en ailles. Je voulais toujours. Je ne suis pas celle que tu crois. Je ne suis pas celle-là. Écoute-moi. Je ne suis pas celle que tu vois, que l'on raconte, il faut que tu me crois. Je ne suis pas cette fille-là. J'ai voulu un cheminée pour réchauffer, un grand lit pour dormir quand on lit blotti. J'ai voulu apprivoiser les oiseaux des forêts, entendre chahuter les enfants attendris. J'ai voulu là leur apprendre l'allégresse, taper avec eux sur des boîtes à sardines. J'ai voulu envoyer des messages de tendresse, un peu d'amour sur les terres voisines. Je ne suis pas celle que tu crois. Je ne suis pas celle-là. Écoute-moi. Je ne suis pas celle-là. Tu me crois, je ne suis pas celle que tu crois, je ne suis pas celle-là, écoute-moi, je ne suis pas cette fille-là.
From your experience, Carola, as an artist, a mentor, and a leader in the arts, what do you think it would need to develop and establish in the arts, leadership in the arts, so the art world experiences the benefits? So in the end, to make it simple, how can you train a leader in the arts to be a leader that is serving the arts, that brings out the best in the arts? And I was actually thinking a lot about that because it has a lot to do to accept that, especially with these three branches, visual arts, music, and theater performing arts, we have different cultures about how to deal, how to develop together. Visual artists go in their feelings. I'm not sure they exchange so much about their feelings. I'm not sure they could verbalize their feelings, but they could afterwards, when they have something like an image or a picture, whatever, a sculpture, they can talk about it. They can share how it got there. And part of visual arts is at the moment to talk about the concept. What was the thought, the philosophy behind it? In performing arts, when you create theater, you know why you do it. You know what you want to tackle in the minds of your audience. You know how you want them to feel whenever this comes out. And for this, you use a lot of words. And for this, you use, again, words and the dialogue to evoke this image. So it's all around language. And if it's not your native language, sometimes that also can lead to confusion. But these people are very verbal people while they're doing it. Sometimes even getting lost in let's talk about it instead of let's do it and let's then nail down the words. And then you have musicians. Musicians are always very, very framed in a structure when they play together. But they go with their intuition and the sound. And, you know, if you ever did music, you know, you have all... you have all the musical structure, you have the matrices you can use in music, and everyone knows it. Everyone agrees on that, and you can play within the structure, within the matrix, or you can externalize it, but you also always have a point of reference, and you can interpret what the feeling is, what the atmosphere is. So I would say in this case, the way of development was for them somehow the easiest, even though they were the latest to come in. And so a leader in the arts needs to be aware of these three things, especially when it's about opera. And training this means, on one hand, they need to be experts in all these in all these ways of how to deal, how to create. They need to be very verbal, but wisely verbal. It's not about a lot of words. It's about open questions. It's about holding a safe space. And it's about being very clear with themselves. So I would say it's a lot what people in business need to do too, especially when they're leading expert teams, which is, I would say, car production, you know, car creation, or when you create ships, or when you create luxury products. It's all about these product development departments that are very, very similar to the arts. And also in product development departments, usually the focus on the expertise is too big, and the focus on how do I get people to bring their expertise to the table and to feel safe is a bit underdeveloped. So a leader in the arts needs to know how to ask the right questions, needs to know a lot about team games, about games of adult people. What do we play? Power games, power struggles, and communication. Very, very good communication, and always knowing where am I in this? Am I, for this moment, just a facilitator? Am I a mentor who can facilitate but also has a saying? Am I the director? Am I the one who is bringing everything together, leading the whole process? And maybe it's not my idea, or maybe I am also an idea bringer. So very conscious of different roles that are possible, and very transparent of which roles this person is considering to apply. And that's quite a thorough education, I would say. It would bring a lot of good artworks, actually. Yeah. Crawler, how do you think it would be possible to make it attractive to take on these leadership roles in the arts world?
Thank you.
Krolla, how do you think it would be possible to make it attractive to take on these leadership roles in the arts world? I think to take on a leadership role is quite attractive anyways, because it means because of there's so much misuse of the power, it would bring you in the position that you can decide, make decisions. So it's quite attractive, actually. And you would not be the one who is addressed with power games. To make this development, to become a wise leader in the arts or a future leader in the arts, I'm not so sure that this is already tangible for a lot of people, because it's so rare that you have a wise leader in the arts that no one is conscious that it would make life just simply easier. And I mean easier on both sides. You would be less attacked, you would feel less lost. You would have an open space also for yourself, but also for the others to get curious. And the result would be much better. And it would be carried along and disseminated by everyone who participates, because they're proud of what they're doing. And I'm not so sure that this, I am proud of what I'm doing, I did my share, I made a difference, I made an impact, is something that artists dare to ask for. But I think we should, because we have a saying. Because one thing in the arts is for sure, art is a way of observing reality. And it's a special way. And it usually brings out things that would be forgotten otherwise. So I think if people would see that and would get the vision of they could make a positive impact, they can have a way and they can have an impact on how others work together, and I mean a positive one, and then bring out better results, I think just understanding that would make it very attractive to become a true leader in the arts, not just the boss or the director. And the fourth question, this one, wow. You bring this unique combination between your experience in the arts world and your experience developing leaders. How could development of leaders in the arts world look like? You bring this unique combination between your experience in the arts world and your experience developing leaders. How could development of leaders in the arts world look like? That's the only question I'm really happy I had a bit before to prepare. Because I was thinking, you know, when I sum up what I said before, what would they really need to bring? And how would they be developed? How could we support their evolvement? I think there are three pillars. The one is about my inner attitude. What do I bring to the table? I would say curiosity, a big ability to trust, confidence, and an openness that he might go wrong. And that's okay. You know, also this culture that it's okay that I'm wrong, but I'm open enough and curious enough to listen and to hear when I'm wrong. So this inner attitude of, I'm not perfect, I'm not the one who needs to bring everything to the table, but I trust that I'm wise enough that I can combine the things I bring to the table. Pillar one. Pillar two is about myself. What do I expect from myself? Where do I allow my own creativity, my genius to come in? And where am I honest enough with myself that I'm not open to deal options? Because this is my prerequisite. I want this to be implemented. So be very clear where your limits are. And I always compare it to a frame, you know, to a frame or maybe even a playground in the arts. Maybe the frame works really well for business, but in the arts, it's more a playground, and the playground has limits. And if you're out, it's an out. Be very, very clear, you know, and this means self-development. I need to be clear what I want, what my biggest dreams are. I need to be clear where I'm vulnerable. I also need to be clear where I'm hurtable, and I need to be very clear where my limits are, which is a non-discussable limit. And to be honest with myself, and then also be clear, how much of this do I share? What do I expect of people? And the third pillar, so this was pillar two, self-development. And then also dealing with stress. That's, I think I forgot that part, because it's quite a challenging business, the arts. You invest a lot, especially time-wise, especially in the performing arts. And you need to be clear when you're tired, because you never bring good things to the table when you're overly tired. Sometimes tiredness just helps actually to open up boundaries to the good, because you cannot defend yourself anymore. So defensive modes are going down a bit. Tiredness helps there. But exhaustion doesn't have any place there. Pillar two. Pillar three is all the whole thing about communication. How do I address people? How do I create an eye-level contact, an eye-level relation? How do I invite others to believe that they can make an impact? And how do I also share which impact I expect? Do I expect them to bring things in time? Do I expect them to bring their best things in time? How do we judge about the best things? And then also, do I allow to value success? How do we measure the success? Is it really the amount of people who are sitting in? Is it really the amount of money I get for a picture? Or is it that, and I'm happy with what I did? The philosophy behind it brought me bigger, like grew me bigger, grew you bigger. And is it also about customer satisfaction? Like, is the audience involved? Do I get the audience to buy in? And do I also get the audience to want to make a difference? Those are all discussions we don't have a lot in the arts. It's very interesting, especially in the performing arts. It has been lately, like the last past years, a lot of social involvement has happened from the visual arts, especially from architecture. How do we build communities? How do we build buildings or spaces or rooms for communities? And how can we create that together? But that's, again, you know, different parts of arts, different branches of arts deal with things differently. In theater, lately, there has been a lot about co-creation with people who are just interested in theater but are not professionals in the handcraft of theater. Everything is possible, especially theater, singing, painting are all very truly human expression modes or ways of expressing ourselves. And you don't need to be a professional to do it. Everyone can do it. The question is just on which level, also on the crafts level, it is done. And then also on the philosophy level. So we are actually the whole branch that is dealing a lot with this future fitness I'm bringing to people when I'm talking with business. Because it's a lot more about the quality, how it should feel, how it should be, how it should contribute to a better future, than whom should it feed. Business is a lot about turnover, win, and how much money do I make? And it needs to develop in the thing, what does it contribute to a better world? What does it, of course, bring in money? Yeah. But how much does it contribute to a valuable environment, to a community, to the world, and nurture also the company or feed the company? And in the arts, it's the other way around. Are we aware in the arts how much influence we can have if we take responsibility? And if you go there to go a bit more, it's not just me expressing myself and me being the ego who has been chosen by my talent, by someone who decided that my talent is so big that I can do that? Or is it that I have a special way of expression, that I have a certain potential, which I hone, which I honed, and I keep on honing? I have been honing and I keep on honing. And I also dare to say, okay, I want to do my share for a world worth living. So that's very interesting to see those two developments and seeing actually everything we learn in the arts is what business needs to adapt to create a future. And we want to live, I hope at least that you want to live too in the next 100 years. I would like to. I'm a bit too old to live for 100 years, but I think the world should stay healthy. And the world should every day become a bit a better place. And of course, better places are always judged by different people. So my better place might not be your better place. But in general, it should be something where we can all evolve, develop, and do something we are proud of. We make an impact and others see us and say, okay, this is really inspiring. And inspiration is becoming one of the most important future skills ever. And we need empathy for it. And then, so I think this would be all my answers. And with this today, I hope you could take that on and just see, well, in the arts, we have an expert environment, as in production development and a lot of other branches. It is a challenge. Communication is one of the assets for a good leader, but communication without my own development and without a certain attitude does not work. This is what I would give you as my insights of this very, very valuable project that resulted also in a book, in certain videos, and was covered by quite some TV stations and radio stations in Slovenia, Project Lead, Austria and Croatia. I hope you enjoyed. See you next month. Yours, Karola.